The Buck Sexton Show.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break, and at the worst possible time. Call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.
Well, the First in the Nation primary in New Hampshire is underway, and we here in the Freedom Hut are now joined by political editor for The Blaze, Lee Munsell. Lee, thank you for calling in. You're up in New Hampshire. What's going on up there?
Hey, thanks for having me. It's snowy up here. That's kind of the first thing I noticed. But voting's underway. It started last night at midnight in Dixville Notch and a couple other smaller precincts up north. Because apparently I learned this the other day, but the law in New Hampshire is that it has to be open. Your polling place has to be open between like 10 a.m. and I believe 6 p.m. But you can open it at any point and close it at any point. Or 7 p.m. and then a couple places stay open till 8. But in general, that's why they do the midnight voting, is because technically they can be open at midnight if they want to be.
All right. And so far what we've seen is that there's, from what I can read already, it looks like there's a pretty strong Bernie surge. And on the Republican side, no big surprises yet. Kasich, Trump, and Cruz are getting pretty good early votes, early voting results. Is that what you're hearing? Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, that's what the results were last night. But keep in mind, you know, we're talking about 30 or 40 votes, so not exactly a exact sample of the electorate.
The state,
so we'll see what actually happens. But those early results usually, you know, give some indication of what New Hampshireites are thinking, but they don't. You know, they're pretty statistically insignificant.
Now, what are the campaigns doing in terms of setting expectations? Let's start on the Republican side of things. Who is this considered do or die for by those you're talking to, and how are the campaigns, other than Trump, who seems, if you believe the polls, seems like a kind of a shoo-in here, how are they trying to position themselves?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of campaigns that have really, you know, put a lot of their hopes in New Hampshire. Chris Christie is one of those, as well as Jeb Bush and John Kasich have all really focused on trying to win New Hampshire votes. So the three of them are really going to hope for some good results today. It'd be interesting to see where Jeb ends up, because he's so focused so much on New Hampshire. And it seems like he's been surging in recent days. He's had a lot of excitement at his events, and a lot of people have been showing up on the ground. So there is kind of some buzz that maybe he'll do better than expected in New Hampshire, which would be a big boost for his campaign. But some other things we're seeing, like Ted Cruz, for example, had really, really high expectations in Iowa, but his campaign is trying to kind of downplay his expectations here, which shows that, you know, they don't want the same kind of hype and expectation situation here that there was in Iowa, because he won't finish as high likely as he did there. And Marco Rubio, now there's been a lot of hope that he'll do well in New Hampshire, and so the expectations are fairly high for him, and if he doesn't do as well as expected, that could end up hurting him in the long run.
I'm reading articles about how New Hampshire is completely flooded from a media perspective, from a from also just the sort of direct mail and ground game. All this stuff has been going on until the very end of all of this. Which campaign on the GOP side is considered to have the best ground game? And do you think that could is that a factor that maybe the polls haven't been taking into account?
You know, I'm not sure who has the best ground game on the Republican side. I know that Kasich certainly himself has been doing a ton of FaceTime with voters. He was the first one to reach 100 town hall meetings in New Hampshire, and the others are getting closer to that now a couple days later. But he certainly kind of set the trend for actually being in New Hampshire. But as far as, you know, people walking around, getting out the vote, being at precincts and all of that, there's a pretty, like, strong Jeb Bush network here. and a lot of, you know, Jeb Bush supporters and staffers and stuff here. So, again, he's one that you could maybe see do better tonight than you would expect, although if he doesn't, then that's going to end up really being trouble for his campaign.
Yeah, I mean, the Jeb, we played some audio of Bush before saying that this isn't do or of Jeb, of course, Jeb exclamation point, saying that this isn't do or die for his campaign. But I think the expectations from the rest of us who aren't just trying to come up with some sort of spin is that if Jeb doesn't do very well, if he isn't really a top, at least a top four, if not a top three finisher in New Hampshire, it looks like he's just hanging on for no good reason at this point. On the Hillary side of things, doesn't seem like anybody believes she's going to win New Hampshire. Is she just trying to prevent a rout? Is that the best that her campaign can really offer to those who are asking what expectations should be coming out of New Hampshire?
Yeah, well, most people are not expecting a lot from Hillary today as far as her numbers go, which is actually where she wants to be. She doesn't want the expectation to be that she should do very well here. But yeah, the more she loses by, the worse it'll look for her campaign. So she's going to want to keep it as close as possible. They did a lot of stuff in the past couple of days, a lot of get out the vote rallies, big venues, a lot of people at them. So that's been kind of their focus, is to actually, you know, do a little better than they've been polling in New Hampshire.
Have you been able to go cover in person any of the Bernie Sanders rallies? And are you always immediately ensconced in clouds of some sort of vaporous, pungent, odorous stuff? Or what are the Bernie Sanders rallies like?
Yeah, I was just at a Bernie Sanders rally yesterday, and Bernie Sanders rallies are actually pretty fun comparatively to the other ones. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of young
people. I'm sure.
It's just kind of a different atmosphere than the others. They have, you know, fun warm-up music at the beginning. They were playing Disco Inferno yesterday, the Burn Baby Burn song, and there's just kind of like a lot of excitement at those rallies, so they tend to be more fun to go to. I wrote a story yesterday. He was talking about how students need, you know, bailouts from student loan debt, and he mentioned he had one of the people in the audience stand up and tell how much student loan debt she had, and she said she had, you know, $200,000 in debt for a grad degree from Columbia University. And then he went on to talk about how, you know, that money essentially needs to be repaid by taxing Wall Street, which is interesting. So anyway, that story's up on the Blaze. They basically said there needs to be a bailout for student debt money, which is a really kind of interesting little exchange on the campaign trail yesterday.
Now, Bernie Sanders rallies are the most fun and have the best music from what I'm hearing up there. But if you're looking for pure spectacle, are the Trump rallies the ones that you really have to stop by and see?
Yeah, the Donald Trump ones are certainly always interesting. Last night he was at the Verizon Wireless Arena, and the snow was coming down. People were told, you know, that it was a pretty intense winter storm and to be careful not to travel. And yet he still, you know, packed out the place with a big crowd, and ended up making some news for calling Ted Cruz a pejorative term, or at least repeating it. And so, you know, that sort of thing. It's a wild card when you go to Donald Trump events, what you're going to get, whether he'll say something or do something that's just entirely unexpected, which is pretty different from the very, you know, carefully honed and crafted images of a lot of the other candidates.
Well, is it your expectation from what you're hearing from those covering the campaigns alongside you, that after New Hampshire, will there be a couple of drops from the Republican side of things?
You know, it'll be interesting to see. A lot of Christie was saying the other day that he has a plane ticket to South Carolina on Wednesday, and he intends to make it. A lot of them are saying that. A lot of them have said that before. But I guess Ben Carson is flying out to South Carolina tonight. He's not even going to go to his watch party or victory party. He's going to head straight to South Carolina. I don't know. I mean, it's possible. Jeb Bush, Chris Christie are possible dropouts if they don't do as well here as they thought. John Kasich, although it looks like he's going to finish fairly strong, so that could give him more momentum. Another key dynamic of this race, too, is to see how Donald Trump does, because, you know, a fairly disappointing finish in Iowa and a lot of expectation that he'll win here, but he hasn't yet proven that he can live up to the polls. So we'll see if he actually does tonight.
So you think that there's an argument you made that Trump, it's not enough for Trump to just win in New Hampshire. He has to win pretty big, or else people are going to start to question whether he can just point to polls all the time and say, see, I'm crushing everybody.
Yeah, well, and she's a very non-traditional candidate. So in a lot of ways, his Iowa finish wasn't terrible. But again, he's been polling so, so well, and he hasn't yet proven, although he could prove it tonight, that it actually will translate to voters showing up to the polls. He had a decent amount of support in Iowa, but not remotely like what he was polling at. And so that's a key question.
Has the Robo Rubio thing, by the way, has that caught on at all with New Hampshire voters? Anyone you've spoken to, or what are you picking up on that? You know, his repeating himself four times in the debate, because it seems like in the polls it hasn't really made a difference. But are you hearing sort of anecdotally that people are a little more questionable on Rubio, who might have been favorably disposed to towards him before?
Yeah, well, the campaign spin on that is that, he actually got more interest and more search spikes and everything since the last debate. But there is concern, maybe less about the repeating himself. I think that's part of it, but more about, how carefully he stays on message and how he doesn't seem as authentic as maybe some of the other candidates. And that sort of thing doesn't play well in New Hampshire. So I've heard some of that dynamic, that people are concerned that he won't ever stray from his talking points. And in a primary season that's really loved tough talk from candidates like the Ted Cruz's and Donald Trump's of the world, if Marco Rubio doesn't take any swings in the near future, he might kind of turn off the voters who want someone more fiery than he's been.
All right. Lee Munsell, political editor at The Blaze. Thank you so much for calling in. Keep us updated. Great to have you on.
Will do. Thanks.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break, and at the worst possible time. Call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.